Content warning, y'all. We have lots of fun making this podcast, but remember, we watch a lot of R-rated films, use language that reflects that, and joke about heavy topics to create levity around these themes. If that doesn't feel safe or could be triggering, please take care of yourself. We want you to have fun listening too. This also means we might not be suitable for children. Oh yeah, and we spoil the end of all the movies we pod about. Thanks for listening.
Gobs and mobsters.
That was pretty good. That was a good one. I had watched it before, but nothing about it seemed familiar except for, like I said, the scene where he takes his clothes off. It was the only thing that I retained from that entire fucking movie. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one. It's really heavy.
Yeah.
Really gay.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, anyway. Go to patreon.com / the NK pod. There you will find episodes with zero ads, and you'll find episodes that are
main episodes ad free
to Patreon. And yeah, and they're about like random ass things that we watch. They're not about like, they're not as on brand as the main whatchamajig.
Well said.
they're more, you know, like we've done like
we just did like Candyman.
Stranger Things, Candyman.
Yeah.
I think we did.
Typically, it's more contemporary.
It's more contemporary, but also
includes television.
Includes television. Sometimes we randomly do like an unmentionable about a weird thing. Like sometimes we'll do individual unmentionables about something we watched ourselves.
Yeah. In theory, I'd like to do more of those.
Yeah, I was going
to. Because.
Yeah, I like that. Because we do watch a lot of things by ourselves.
Well, in theory, I'd like to watch more things by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there. I just watched Get Carter. I'd love to tell you
what. I was going to say. We
disappointing
should
movie that was.
100%. We should 100% do an unmentionable about that one. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it because that's not my cup of tea.
Right, and that's why I watched it.
I personally, this is a fun fact about me, listeners. You already know this. I have a lot of trouble watching. One of the reasons why it's 80s and 90s movies, and it's not like 70s, 80s, and 90s. I have a lot of trouble watching movies from this, like,
pre-80s.
And I don't know what it is. It basically puts me into a state of anxiety to watch it. Not everything. There are obviously things I can watch, but if it's like, if you're like, oh, this movie is from like 1971, I'm going to be like, I have to watch
already
it.
You're breathing.
Yeah.
Like, shallow.
And I think it's because like I think part of it is because when I was younger.
Right.
Like.
Enough said.
Right, like my grandpa or my dad would be like, oh, you'll love this movie or something. And then it would be like this movie from the fucking 70s where, and it would be like, or my grandpa always loved to be like, oh, this is a great movie. I remember this, you know, Billy Jack movie or whatever from the 70s. And then you're watching it and it's just like graphic rape scenes and you're like,
And maybe he's killing some Indians.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, And so like when people are like, oh, it's from 1970, I'm like, I don't really want to watch rape.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for offering. But I don't know. Just like, it's especially the 70s, but like 50s and 60s. I don't know. I have trouble with like the earlier shows.
Well, I mean, you know, I think this is why.
Yeah. Although I really, 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 we should do an unmentionable. Really want to do. I can't remember what it's called. It's got Adam Arkin.
Okay.
Is it Papa, right?
What?
Or is that Alan Arkin?
Alan is daddy.
Alan. It's got Alan Arkin and what's her name from Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Was that a Hepburn?
No. Audrey, no. Shit.
Who's in Breakfast at Tiffany's? Tiffany?
Yeah, Tiffany. It's got Tiffany in it.
Good Lord.
Is it a... I can't remember what it's called. I always forget what it's called. It's called, like, you know...
No, I meant her.
Yeah. I swear to God, right now, Randall is listening to this it's and
Audrey
just
Hepburn.
Screaming.
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn, okay. Audrey Hepburn, really? Okay. No, but it's like this whole thing is like she's a blind woman.
Uh-huh.
And it's like so, it's from the 60s. I fucking love it. Maybe it's from the 70s. It's from the late 60s, early 70s. I loved that movie when I was younger. So that's one that we can put on the books. You go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think if television mm-hmm. was like one of your main
yes.
outlets.
Yeah.
Escapism.
Yes.
And it was due to poverty that you weren't doing
Correct.
A lot of other things
Correct.
Or going to movies.
Yes.
And you were stuck with whatever was playing on the TV.
Yes.
Or that your parents wanted to watch
yes.
or family.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Totally loaded. And,
yes.
You know, anyone in those circumstances is going to have.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be a.
You've named it. You've totally.
A window.
Yes. You've absolutely.
A film that is going to be like, oh no, I can't watch this.
You've absolutely named it, yeah.
Like MASH is like triggering for everyone my age. Yeah. Like Gen X, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, in general, I have a big problem with Westerns. And I feel like the 70s were big on Westerns. Like the 70s were like, you know what? We're going to do modern day
Westerns.
Yeah,
what I was going to say, and this is why.
Cowboy shit. I hate cowboy shit. I hate Western shit. I hate it all. I don't want to watch it. I'm not interested in it. And war shit. I don't want to see war shit. And I don't want to see cowboy shit.
I sometimes want to see war shit. I'll be honest.
But anyway, what are you looking up? How?
What Audrey Hepburn was in with Alan Arkin?
God, I'm pissed because you're gonna be like, "Is it this?" And I'm gonna be. It's gonna be such an obvious like, "Who's Afraid of the Dark?" Or, like the.
Wait Until Dark.
Yes, Wait Until Dark. Yeah, I loved that movie so much. And I love how she looks in it because that her look in that movie is like one of my favorite looks slash. One of my favorite, like when someone's doing a movie, like in the movie we watched last night, what was the woman's name? Fucking, why can't it? Lolita Davidovich. Yeah. I feel like I just said a slur. I don't know what, like the way that came out. I was like, sorry. when she's leaving the bar, she has like a similar look to that where it's like, just like the high waters or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a shirt, but it looks so classy. It's just such a plain look, but it looks so good. That's basically what
that
Audrey Hepburn looks like throughout the movie. She just
60s.
Has like high waters and like a nice, and she just looks.
Capris.
Yes. Capri pants. I don't know. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Remember.
Yeah. Fuck a Capri.
So anyway, we watched Gobs and Mobsters. What?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome.
This
welcome
week we're talking about Gobs and Mobsters.
This was wild.
It answers the question, who is a gob and who is a mobster? You know, because in the UK they say gob for spit.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I just know in Adventure Time when they have like gob.
Glob.
Gob, glob, and...
God.
Something.
Gob, glob, 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 glob.
God, gob.
Gog and Magog.
Gob, glob, and grod, I think is what it is, or something. Or more.
Okay, so this is based on a novel.
Yes.
Called The Father of Frankenstein, which takes... It's a fictionalized... It's a speculative... telling of the last days of real life person James Whale, Speculating on the time shortly before, well, yeah, between his stroke, him having a stroke, and him committing suicide. Spoiler. So that's the novel. Mm-hmm. And then it was adapted for the screen.
And called Gods and Monsters.
There was a bit of... go on.
Sorry, no. Let me know when I can read the trivia that I want to read.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just over here choking on my own burps.
Okay. This is like...
One of only three movies since the advent of the best screenplay adapted from another medium Oscar award category to win the award without receiving also best picture.
Nomination,
yeah. It wasn't even nominated.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all. Your turn.
This is just one of those things where I don't know why this is necessary, you know? Sir Ian McKellen said that he felt very comfortable playing the role of James Whale. Like Whale, McKellen is a homosexual British actor who spent his early career in the theater and ultimately started a career in Hollywood. What? Like, first of all, Whale was a director.
Yeah.
And he wasn't an actor. It says like...
Oh, I see.
Like Whale, McKellen is a homosexual British actor. No, like Whale, yeah, yeah. McKellen is a British homosexual man. Like, that's, I get it, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, I think it's great that McKellen is queer and was able to play a queer character. I think that's good, and I think that's important.
I love that for him.
But to be like, isn't it? It's such a coincidence. Like, stop. Did you know that Ian McKellen also likes dick? Like, what?
What are the odds?
It's something that I was like, it was really fascinating to watch. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about the way, because it was, you know, the 90s. Was it 1999?
It was the 90s.
98. Okay. So, you know, like, queerness wasn't something that was like...
Bill Condon.
Bill... C-O-N-D-O-M. That fucking French and Saunders sketch where they're supposed to be, like, 13-year-old girls talking about contraceptives or whatever and how to, like, not get pregnant, but they're getting all their information wrong. I don't know why. It's one of my favorite... They're like, condom, C-O-M-D-O-M, condom. It's so funny to me. So fucking funny.
I rewatched that shit.
Yeah. I will say it's not as, doesn't hit as hard, you know, well, like when rewatching it, but oh my God, figure. It's so ridiculous. Like.
Neither does AbFab, but people still love jizzing all over.
Oh God, I love AbFab so much.
I'm not saying it's not
it's,
bad.
No, but it's also something where it's like, it's not a bad. Little bit not hard. It's already, it's something that's like, can get hard to like rewatch, you know, like it has, but like the older you get, the more you're like, I don't know that I have the mental capacity to watch.
For me now, it's all about the friend. I mean, I guess it Cassie? Always has been. I don't know.
The tall,
I never remember their names.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah. Katya, basically.
figure.
It never fails. Though, like the line that always gets me is where they're, like, on vacation and, like, Patsy's visiting, or, like, I don't know, like, Patsy's seeing her sister for the first time. And I don't remember the setup, but, like, Patsy's, like, trying to pretend because, like, she doesn't eat. Like, that's a joke. And she's, like, pretending to be hungry or something. And they're like, what's the matter with you? And she's like, nothing. I'm just a bit peckish. And they're like, so shocked, and they say, when was the last time you ate something? And she goes, 1973. And it's so fucking funny. And then they give her a nut. And she, like, eats it. But she's so fucking funny. She's just,
I know.
Like, she doesn't know how to eat. Like, she eats it like a bird. She's like, oh, like, it's so fucking funny. Oh, my God. Anyway. Yeah, I got on a tangent. But watching the way that it, like, Brendan Fraser gets so, like, irate with Ian McKellen over being queer.
Uh-huh.
But is, like, all seemingly also very desperate for that attention mm-hmm. that he's getting from, and it, that's so fascinating to me. And so, and I don't know, I wish, it's so, I don't want to say relatable, but, like, it's something where I wish that was more explored.
Yeah, right. Movie.
That, you know, it's something that I wish I could, wish would have been, because it seemed like every time Ian McKellen was, like, Brendan Fraser wanted all the control. It's like his character sure. wanted all the control. Like Clayton wanted all of the control, which is fine. It's understandable. But like anytime like James Whale was like, oh my God, we shouldn't do that. You know, I shouldn't be mm-hmm. drawing you. I shouldn't be doing this. It's ridiculous. Like I'm getting emotional about this. And it's probably like Clayton is like, no, I want you to keep drawing me. Like, what can I do to make you keep drawing me?
Yeah.
And, like, anytime he's like, no, 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 no. This is too much. Like, I've asked too much
of you. I mean,
you.
Whale is also paying him to sit.
He is paying him. True. He's paying him to sit. But at no point is it... He's also paying him to garden. Like, he's the gardener. Right. So he's paid no matter what. But at no point... This is something that I find interesting. At no point is he, like... I don't want you to be my gardener anymore. He's always just like, you can just keep yeah. gardening. You know what I mean?
That's
he's not, which I appreciate because it definitely makes it seem like he's offering compensation for his time.
Right.
Meaning that he's not like, he's not manipulating him in the sense of like, do this or else. He's just like, I'm happy to compensate you for the time you spend with me. Which is like, you know, some might see that as manipulation, but I see that as, you know, how it should be. But in any time there's like a conflict, he's like, okay, you can just be my gardener then.
Right.
Like it's never something where he's saying like, you're going to lose your, he's never drawing some line that makes Brendan Fraser like dependent upon this, which I think is important.
Yeah.
In how, you know, their relationship goes.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic. It's
yeah,
less,
it's not. Like, it's not. You're gonna lose everything if you don't do this. It's like you can just, you know, like
right.
you can still be.
And we see him come back
right
on his own
yes.
volition after Wales already said no. We should stop.
Yeah.
He shows up at the house and we're like, no, let's do some more.
Mr. Boo, thank you, Hannah. I want to sit for you again. Only if you promise to ease up on the locker room talk, okay?
Scout's honor.
I'm curious, Mr. Boone. What convinced you to come back?
I don't know. I like your stories, I guess.
Oh, everyone's got stories to tell.
Not me.
Like the scene at the end where... He basically, you know, has this, like, emotional, James Whale is, like, they kind of, everything comes to a head where
yeah.
Clayton's, like, I was never in the war.
Right.
My appendix burst and I never,
I love know. That. I didn't have the guts for it.
Yeah. Literally. My appendix burst. He's, like, I never went to war. I was, you know, and, you know, he beats himself up over it. And then James Whale is, like, talking about how, like, drawing, you know, Clayton reminds him of, like, all this war shit when he was younger. And it brings up so much stuff for him. And he, like, talks about, like, losing someone that he loved in the war and how, like, it ended up being just, like, a running joke that this guy... you know, had died or whatever, a brutal death. And, you know, like,
Barnard.
How he'd, what?
Barnard.
Yeah. And how, you know, sort of like he tried to like push all that away, but,
right.
You know, it's coming up, seeing Brendan Fraser's like,
well, one of the elements of the movie is that after his stroke,
right, yeah,
he just has constant,
yeah, he can't,
he can't really man, it's like invasive, constant invasive thoughts,
right, but,
and he takes luminol,
yeah, but he's saying like, he basically confesses that like while he's been trying to draw Brendan Fraser, he's not doing anything because he's lost his ability to draw. Not that he wasn't trying. He was just like, he's showing him, he's like, it's just scribbles. Like I've lost everything.
God, that was,
I know.
There are several moments that are completely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, basically like, yeah, I don't have anything. So Brendan Fraser undresses.
Right.
And is like, this is what you wanted to see or whatever. Like, he's like, here's how you really wanted to draw me.
Right.
And it's just like this thing where, and I'm not saying like,
it's a little confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because
it's not like it's right. It's confusing because you're like, what are you doing? You know, right. He's just, and I think it's like showing that like Ian McKellen was just very emotional. Ian McKellen was just, you know, just exposed himself emotionally, you know, I've lost my ability to draw you. I've been a fraud this whole time. I haven't been able to do anything. Like, you know, like, I'm sorry, you know, basically like I've lost everything. And then he undresses and I see it as like, I'm being vulnerable too.
Sure.
And then it gets weird. Put on this gas mask and murder me. But it's,
well, I was gonna say what was confusing about it is because, okay, it seems like a nice giving gesture because you're
right
letting down some barriers, you know, literally, and you know, as well as emotionally, but like it's not really a gift because he can't draw you.
Right.
I mean, of course, the conceit is he just wants to see you naked, but like,
right.
How satisfying is seeing somebody naked that you find sexually attractive? It's not satisfying by itself. You know what I mean? Like, no, I just mean like if you want.
You're right. No, I get what you're saying, but that just sounds very funny the way you said it. How satisfying is it to see someone you're attracted to naked? It's
not at all. Such a turnoff.
Biggest turnoffs that I have personally, seeing someone I like naked.
Yep.
Sex with that person.
Yeah. Ugh.
Bleh, bleh, bleh. Cover that shit up. I don't even want to see your fucking never mind, face. No, I took that scene of him undressing and to mean like that he didn't feel taken advantage of through that. He didn't feel like he'd been used or something.
Oh, I
like
see.
Like you wanted to draw me, so you still can. Like, even though it doesn't, it's even though you've lost it, I felt like he was saying, like, maybe if you see me how you wanted to, like, it'll help or something. You know, like, giving him, like, a reason to keep trying.
Right.
Basically, is how I took that. I don't know if that's what was intended.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very fascinating.
Well, it's also, you know, clearly trying to, there are many times where the film Frankenstein is evoked in the filmmaking of this, you know, like there's lots of, suddenly there's just a bunch of Dutch angles, that whole last,
I don't enjoy Dutch angles.
I'm a big sucker for them.
They're too overt.
But, like that whole sequence at the whole climax. It's a dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
Lightning flashing, thunder
lightning
crashing.
Again, 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 again. Anyway, you're welcome, everyone. Sorry. Go on.
Well, so, you know, like, I think maybe they're kind of forcing that comparison in. So him being naked is sort of the reveal of the monster. I don't know.
Yeah. At first I was like, because when he has his shirt off, I didn't notice. Like, you know, I wasn't staring too hard. No offense, Brendan Fraser. You know, it's fine. He looks fine. But, like, I was, like, ogling his naked body or whatever. But then he was, like, oh, my appendix burst. And I was, like, oh, I didn't see a scar. Mm. And oh, then shit. He took his shirt off. And I was, like, oh, there's a scar.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Nice. I was, like, oh, never mind. I would like to say Brendan Fraser is someone who has been. Yeah, I don't know if it's, like. If I went directly connecting to this film.
But at the very least, let's talk about Brendan Fraser and his history. And, you know, I would like to, because we're doing movies with him.
Yes. Yes.
Out of respect for the fact that he's dealt with some shit has happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he is. Someone who, I mean, this is like something that I wish men, especially cis men, were given permission to talk about without being joked about. I mean, like women, not to say women can't, you know, like. Women are able to freely talk about it. Women get accused of lying. Men get accused of being weak
and pathetic. It's sadly...
Yeah. I don't remember if he gave specifics about it or what the specifics were, but he, you know, he was someone who was, like, sexually assaulted, essentially.
Right. By the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Mm-hmm. And.
In 2003.
2003? You said? Yeah. Okay. I feel like I enunciated that weird, but I couldn't tell if you said 3 or 13. So. And he, like, finding out. So, like, you know, one of the things where he was like this.
I mean, he had also had a lot of physical...
Right. He was, like, idolized and idealized for having, like, this body, basically. Of, like, he was super, like, buff and, like, everyone, you know, he was, like, people wanted him in their movies and shit to be, like, the attractive, hot, buff guy.
Yeah, thanks to things like, I feel like, thanks to thing casting in things like Encino Man and, and George of the Jungle, he was, played like the dumb
beefcake. He was a pretty face.
He's Rocky.
Yeah.
Rocky Horror. Rocky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not Balboa.
Yeah. I was like, huh.
Or the flying squirrel.
Right. I was like, I don't, sure. Sure, I guess he got beat up a lot. So, the thing, like, I don't remember, like, 2009 or something, or 2000, I don't know, in the aughts sometime, he was in the third Mummy installment, and that basically completely destroyed him.
Physically, you mean?
Yeah. He was, like, I read something where he was, like, basically, like, almost unable to move, like, between scenes because he was in so much pain. And, like, that's what the industry did to him.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
He's had partial knee replacement, laminectomy, which I think is, like, a spinal cord... not spinal cord, but spine surgery. Mm-hmm. Vocal cord surgery?
Mm-hmm. Like, he has been, and Jesus he's like Christ. In pain all the time. Like, right. It's not something where he, like, by the end of the Mummy franchise, he was almost like to the point of like losing. I don't know exactly how bad it was, but he was like in constant excruciating pain. And he stopped doing like those kinds of movies. But what happened was people started sort of like body shaming him and like,
yeah,
talking about how he was gaining weight and like, oh, look at how. But this magical sort of thing happened where people started like rallying around him as opposed mm-hmm. to joining in
dog or mocking
him. Yeah. And talking about like what he'd been through and some of it I didn't know until like the past few years. And like, I don't know. I've said this in the past, like, I would rather have fat Brendan Fraser.
Didn't know Brendan Fraser.
Right. And I don't mean that as like, oh, if I had to pick. No, I'm saying I would rather have that. I would rather have him fat and alive.
Right.
Than anything else. I don't care if he was never buff. Like, that's, I don't need yeah, that. Yeah. You know, like, he's someone who's like a genuine person who's gone through physical and emotional pain and suffering because of Hollywood and because of what Hollywood did to him.
Yeah.
And so to say, okay, but he's fat or whatever, or like, oh, he's balding. Like, who gives a flying fuck about that? Like, he's alive. And he's still able to, like, be in things and act. And he's a great actor. He's done so many things. And, like, you know, he, of course, he does not look how he looked in, like, the 90s. But so fucking what? Yeah, I don't look how I looked in the 90s. And I'm pretty glad about that, frankly. You know, like, it's just he's been through so many things. And I think we wanted to do this as, like, an appreciation for his work. But also, you know, Keith wasn't as familiar with.
That's true. Brendan Fraser's. I have not seen any of his 90s stuff.
So,
I mean, I really only, I mean, I know I've seen him in things, but look.
Well, right. Yeah. He wasn't.
Doom Patrol is the only thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which he's, I mean, he is in that, but he's mostly just vocally in that. You know?
Yeah. I was going to say, he doesn't do the.
No, he's not the. He's not, the body. Yeah, I think it's like a really tall dude. That's.
It's the same for the Phantom guy too, right? The guy who's
bandaged. Yeah. I don't think. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's. Yeah. So yeah, it's something where, you know, it was a way for like Keith to actually like watch a lot of Fraser's movies. And it kind of makes me sad to like watch this movie to see like very much he is or like was considered so much of just being like eye candy.
Yeah, which is kind of weird.
And I cannot, I cannot imagine. I mean, I can in some ways because I'm AFAB. But to have your entire career and safety based on how muscular you are and lose that because of the same industry that's profiting off of that. Like, I can't imagine how terrifying that is.
Yeah.
I saw this this TikTok from, I can't remember, the guy that plays Mac, like Rob something. The guy that plays Mac in Always Sunny.
Oh.
Sorry. Yeah. And because there was like, he got like fat in one season.
Uh-huh.
or like in a couple seasons or something. I don't remember. I don't really watch it. And then he got super buff again. And someone was like, how, like, teach me how to do this. And he, like, it was a really great TikTok. He was like, oh, God. He's like, it's super easy. Anyone can do this. He's like, do you have a 9-to-5 job? Do you, or he's like, do you have a job that you go to regularly? He's like, okay, you're going to need to quit that. And then he's like, and he's just like basically just talking about how absolutely unattainable it is to be, to look like that, and how strenuous and how much work it is. And it's just literally like, he's like, do you have friends? Do you have family? He's like, you're not going to see them anymore. So don't even worry about that.
With it.
Yeah. He's like, do you like food? Because say goodbye. You know, he's like, you're going to eat boiled chicken. He's like, you have like a ton of money coming in, right? So you can afford to do all this stuff. So you got that covered. He's like, and you know, you can write it all off as part of your job. So like you got it, you get it paid for. He's like, all you go to the doctor several times a week to tell, you know, he's just like all this like really fucking ridiculous.
Anybody
he's
can
like,
do it.
He's like, you too can have a completely unattainable body just like me, you know? And I like that approach to it. That's like, you should not want this.
It almost killed Bob Odenkirk.
Right. Yeah. Like, right. Fuck off. Like, it's one of those things where it's like,
I'm serious. He had that heart attack.
No. I know. But like, you should not.
Yeah.
Want. Like, you shouldn't want a body like that because, and reading about like.
Well, we got real talk.
Uh-oh.
All right, it's these beauty standards that are enforced by women who actually have the control over men's bodies.
You're right.
And that's why
too many women on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Have a say over men's
both
bodies.
Of them. I forgot about Amy.
Oh God, what was I saying?
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Oh yeah. I was talking about, like we watched some video basically. I think we did. I think it was us. It might have been two other people. Where it was talking about, like, and this is something I didn't actually realize, but once I found out, it, like, absolutely disgusted me. So I don't find that body type attractive.
Uh-huh.
I'm not actually attracted to people that have, like, six packs and, like,
uh-huh.
I don't like it. I think it's weird, and I think it's...
Six packs are so played out, too. Don't talk to me unless you got at least eight.
Like, I just don't, like, if somebody, like, takes their shirt off and they just have, like, the normal flesh,
yeah.
I'm like, that's hot. If someone takes their shirt off and they have, like, just, like, pecs and, like, a six-pack and they're bulky and shit, I'm like, ugh. I have zero. Like, I'm just dry. There's nothing there. My nipples are soft.
That's a lie. Your nipples are never soft.
No, they are since I took my... rings out. So anyway,
I actually really appreciate it when people are like real ripped but their abs are not symmetrical.
you know what I mean? Yeah.
I kind of love that.
But finding out about like the Marvel movies and how dangerous it is for them to look,
I don't know how Chris Hansen's still alive.
Seriously, like they were talking about how they like dehydrate themselves and like starve themselves for like 24 hours to the point where they have to have a doctor on set in case they collapse or if there is a medical emergency.
Because well, again, it is so,
and literally it's just for a scene where they fucking take their shirt off.
Right.
They literally have to put themselves into a place where they're like nearly hallucinating and cannot like function and have to have a doctor there in case they suddenly have a fucking heart attack.
Well, look, it's I'm going to do a 180 here. It's like fair play because women have been doing this for thousands of years just for the male gaze. So it's the least they can do for one fucking second of history.
right. What's funny?
You're never going to know what I really think.
What I find funny is people will be like,
Christy Shackelford. Sorry.
What I think is funny is that people will be like, oh, this is what happens to men for the female gaze. And people are like, this is literally not
it's
the female gaze.
It's not for the female gaze.
It is the
exactly.
male. It's still the
it's
male
still
gaze.
Still the male
men
gaze.
Think this is hot. So men make this hat. Like, there is not, yeah. like, most, I don't want to say most women, but, like, women don't look at that and think, oh, that's fucking hot. They look at that and they're like, okay, that's fine.
I mean,
like,
they whatever. Might.
Yeah, some women, I'm sure.
Sure.
I don't fucking know.
But it's not.
And I.
Yeah. The point is, no, patriarchy has not been upended.
Correct.
To make this
Correct.
Film.
Yes, exactly.
Or to make this genre, mm-hmm. even, you know, like.
Right.
No.
And it's like, it's terrifying to me that, like, we are, I mean, you know, like, this is something that, like, you know, when I was younger, I really wanted to be an actor. I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I cannot imagine wanting to be in a film or feeling.
Oh, I know.
Like, I could ever do that.
Right.
And I think what it was is that I saw the actors as, like, putting, like, making, like, as the people who were world building, but I realized I wanted to write the story because I wanted to have control over
what was
happening.
It's funny because as a young person, I wanted to be a writer, and now I'm a professional actor.
Nice. Nice. Look at us. But I realized I wanted to, like, have words.
Amen.
Sorry. If a king fruit fly was trying to make out with me, and that's not allowed. So.
Prude.
I'm monogamish, but still, I don't want to make out with a fruit fly in front of my boyfriend. That's
monogamy
fun.
From a hog and me.
So, yeah, I just. But, like, look, thinking about it now, like, the way that, like, celebrity is, there is no
so
way
gross.
In hell. That
Thanks.
You could pay me enough money to want to have my entire career based on how fuckable I looked in a fucking shitty Marvel movie or whatever. Like, no thanks. I'm good. Like, nah. And especially with, like, Disney and stuff like that, there are so many things that, yeah. like, they're, like, contractually not allowed to do, like, so many things, like, in their everyday life. Because,
oh, really?
Like, yeah. And, I mean, maybe not so many things, but, like, they have to do things the Disney way. Like, Disney is so, like, absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. Like, I mean, lucky for me, I've done pornography, so I'm no longer eligible for anything Disney related. Bless. But anyway.
Sorry, Eisner Corp.
So what I'm saying is, like, the celebrity,
That's
like.
That's my impression of Trixie doing RuPaul.
Doing RuPaul, yeah. So, you know, this idea, this, like, stereotype of the attractiveness of, like, a like body, like, destroying your body in order to sculpt it to be, like, this false idea of,
yep.
like, perfection. And godlikeness or whatever. It's so gross. And it's like, there's so many things that's like, so, sorry, this is becoming like a whole, I'm sorry. I know I'm dominating most of the conversation and having a fucking conniption fit.
Well, you have more experience about male bodies than of the two of us. So makes sense.
It's like, it's
you see I lifted my screw?
going in for the spill. It's really dangerous. It's like more dangerous to like yo-yo your way. Jesus Christ. It's more dangerous to yo-yo like to
yeah.
diet and like lose weight and gain it than it is to just be fat. Like if you're fat, and you lose a bunch of weight, that's actually really difficult for your body to handle.
It's hard on your system, yeah.
Yeah. And not like, well, you have to do it super
slow. It's totally
slow.
Safe to throw yourself into ketosis.
Right, exactly. But like people will literally like, and this is a thing where it's like it's super fucking dangerous for actors to be doing this. And I don't understand why it's like, but they look good. Like I literally, like, I
oh,
think.
Well, Come on.
I know. It's so terrible.
Come on.
I personally think.
That's my comment on all this.
Like, to me, like what a hot body looks like. I know I'm admitting this, and I can't believe I'm admitting this, but like Harvey Keitel in The Piano, how he's, I think he looks so fucking good.
But he's
good.
Pretty ripped.
He's ripped, but he has like a gut in that. Like, he's not like, yeah. He doesn't have a six pack. He doesn't have abs.
But he's not he's flabby. Ripped.
No, he's not flabby, but he's also like.
It's not dad bod.
It's kind of dad bod. It's dad bod-ish. But like literally like Hopper in Stranger Things, fucking season 4, especially when he was like, I feel like he, you know, was maybe the biggest in season three. I think that there's more seasons than there actually are.
Yeah.
Season 3 Hopper. Same. I think he might've been at his like biggest. So hot. He looked so good in season 3. And you know, they had him in those fucking like Hawaiian shirts or whatever, and I was like, absolutely yes. And then season 4, he's like ripped, and everyone's like, whoa. And I'm like, no, I are don't. They? It's apparently people are like, oh, he's gotten so. I'm like, no.
Well, clearly that's what the show wants us to think. Like,
right? I mean, like he. Got I haven't ripped seen any reactions, of, but that's he's gotten ripped because of Hellboy and all that shit. You know?
Yeah.
But like. Just, I like, there's so many videos out there of like these celebrities training with like personal trainers to get like, you know, and like, oh, here's what this look. I don't care. I mean, yes, I do enjoy watching Chris Maloney do like squats, I'll admit. Sure. But like, even Chris Maloney, like, he's someone that like, he's like super ripped, but he doesn't have like, you know, he's not like super.
Yeah, he already seemed like someone that's.
Huh?
He isn't. It doesn't seem like a radical transformation.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's just there's just so much out there that's like it's. And I'm not saying like men have it so much worse than women. I don't think it's like a thing. I don't actually think there's a comparison. I think there's different standards for like cis male bodies and cis female bodies.
Totally.
And. Likewise, there's all kinds of like assumptions. Wow, that tasted like beer. That's weird. I have not had beer in like 2 years.
Bananas.
Yeah. Oh, I had a banana. I got like really drunk on banana beer, like my first time going out drinking.
Really?
Oh, God. It was like a banana IPA or something, or I don't know, banana something. I don't know. And. I thought it was really good because it tasted like bananas. Yeah. And I had like 3 giant glasses and then I just puked my guts out the next day.
I'm surprised you can eat bananas.
Literally. And it only because it didn't taste like a fresh banana, but like.
Right.
I was
burping.
Banana
bread.
I was burping.
Sorry for breaking your brain.
All day the next day. And it just tasted like bananas. And I was like texting RW and I was like, I will never be doing that again. Cause he's the one that, you know, went out. He and me and my ex girlfriend.
Did you go to a strip club?
No, we went to, yeah, we went to the Blind Pig. I'm going to say this.
Oh, local hot take incoming.
I think all of the Blind Pig's beers taste like they need to clean their pipes. Like they need to clean the tubing. That's all it. You know, like when you go to a bar and you have like a soda, like you get like.
You get a well drink and it's.
Well, no, they give you a water. They give you, yeah. They give you a water and you're like, this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's what all of their. All of their beers taste like
well,
that.
And I remember...
It doesn't matter what kind of beer it is. You're like, how long has it been?
Has it been ever?
Yeah. Have you ever?
I don't know. It might be the water here because you know that...
That's true.
Urbana... Welcome to local Hot Topics. I learned this when having the...
Yeah.
When I was tasked with caring for an above-ground pool... Urbana, at least, I don't know about Champaign.
Yeah, Champers.
Has unusually soft water.
Yeah. Unusually soft water. That's... I guess that's not super surprising. I don't understand the hard water and soft water and what's good and what's bad and what helps and what doesn't. And is it supposed to be not hard or soft? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Well, most places... Anyway, we can move on.
It's fine.
But I also worked at a liquor purveyor's.
Right on. Yeah.
And everybody hated the... Everybody that I worked with complained about Blind Pig's bottled beer.
Oh, God. I just... There's so many things. This is going to sound really shitty, and I apologize for this. There are so many things that it's like, this is local, so it must be good, that I'm like, is it? Is it?
Yep.
Is it good? Or...
Well, like, and also,
do you
like...
you just feel special because it was made locally? Do you feel like it's... It was, I don't know.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it is.
Again,
fine.
It's the thing. I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, that's cool. We got to. I won't say that, but.
I won't say that.
I know you fucking liberals get triggered.
God,
If I get too real.
I saw this thing where it's like, John Cleese. Thinks that comedy's been ruined, or comedy's being ruined by cancel culture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, this is a thing I woke up thinking about this because it's really important. The comedians that have been quote unquote canceled have been done so for sexual fucking assault and the like. And if someone is like making jokes that people don't like, the only reason you're hearing about it is because people have fucking cell phones and they can record shit, or they can be like, yeah, I was there and this thing fucking sucked and it wasn't funny. That's not cancel culture. That's you not being funny and the public reacting to it. Like, you're saying, like, this is cancel culture. Someone not thinking you're fucking funny isn't cancel culture. That's you not being fucking funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like... I don't understand it.
I don't know. I don't have any feelings on this topic.
Oh, that's true. You do have...
I try to stay out of politics.
Right. Yeah, I know. You don't really like to have an opinion on things and such, and the Iraq and such.
Justified war.
I rewatched that clip because Ron Perlman tweeted it at someone, and he said, like some politician or something did, like, had a speech, and he tweeted that video and said, like, same
it's
energy
giving.
Or something. Like, he said something, and I was just like, oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that video, so I watched it, and I don't even know if I could make it all the way through. It's so painful. Because they're like, how do you feel about, like...
Yeah, and they're, like, trying to talk about education or something?
Well, they say something like... I think the question is, like... Basically talking about how, like, what do you think about, like, kids in the U.S. not being able to, like, name other countries on a map, like, not having the education to, like, name other countries on the map. And she's like, well, I think such as the Iraq and such as is, like, and she's just, like, again, not making any sense. And I'm like, imagine that's your legacy.
Oh, I know.
My legacy instead is that... I made booty hole porn, and now I...
No one cares.
Can't.
It's a sad legacy.
No! Okay, we're going to take a break real quick. Be right back.
Also in this film is Lynn Redgrave.
Yes.
Playing his
maid.
He's the housewife. she's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell. I'm guessing she's supposed to be Swedish or something.
I have no idea.
But she's great. She's her main characteristic, besides doting on him sort of resentfully, is that she disapproves of his homosexuality.
Oh my God, the scene where she... Oh God, the scene with the eggs. And where she's like,
yeah, there's a great scene where Clay and Hannah, Clay insists on sitting in the kitchen and is trying to chat with her.
You have people, Boone? Yeah, people. They're all back in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, you're alive?
I'm not married.
Why?
I don't know. I guess because no girl in her right mind had me.
A man who is not married has nothing. He is a man of trouble. You need a woman.
Are you proposing what I think you're proposing? Don't you think I'm just a little bit young for you?
Oh, men, always pulling legs. Everything is comedy. Oh, how very amusing. How marvelously droll.
I think I took it as more like he's like working class.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels more comfortable in the kitchen.
I mean, he says that.
The staff, right. And that's why he, like, I think it's something where, like, it's hard for him. Like, I took that scene as, like, more like, I don't know that I want to be there just yet. Like he had to, like, adjust or something to, like, being not in the presence of, or to not be, like, a working class person. And he, like, felt overwhelmed at the idea of, like, joining him for lunch or, like, not being part of the
service. Well, it's also, like, he had come enough times that he was no longer just a guest. So it was like, would be too formal to be received in the studio or whatever.
Yeah.
And speaking of, when he first comes into the studio, and there's a scene where one of the things that happens for Whale is that he has olfactory hallucinations. Mm. He smells things that aren't there.
Yeah. I like that scene when he's talking to his doctor, and his doctor's like, never heard of that happening.
Yeah, right.
What about all the rest? The killing headaches, the phantom smells. My inability to close my eyes without thinking of 100 things simultaneously.
I've never encountered the olfactory hallucinations before, but I'm sure they're related.
It's so accurate. A doctor being like, weird that you're experiencing that. Can't say what that is, but good luck.
Yeah.
Have fun with it. What?
Yeah. I don't think we've said either. I mean, is this set in the 50s?
Yeah.
James Whale died in 1957. So this is.
Oh, wow. So it's 1957?
Yeah, basically. But he suddenly gets a smell memory. He's like, dripping?
Yeah.
Do you eat dripping here? Yeah. Which is just the fat from cooking meat.
Yeah.
That you then save, and which people do. It's not called that. People save chicken fat and.
For sure.
Anyway, so he's asking Clay about his class background.
Yes, our family ate dripping. Beef dripping. And four to a bed. And a privy out back in the alley.
Are you also from the slums, Mr. Boone?
We weren't rich, but we weren't poor either.
No, well, you were middle class, like all Americans.
Hmm? I appreciated that.
Yeah. No, that was good.
I don't know. Brendan Fraser's really good. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get a lot to work with.
Correct.
But,
which I think is what I was saying about him being like the visual, like the eye candy is like, he's a good actor. He's able to act, but like so much of the time they're like, can you just stand there and look pretty?
Which, you know, it made me think of like Matt Dillon. I'd much rather see Brendan Fraser.
Literally. Oh my God.
And I don't even think Matt Dillon is that attractive, but no, I think that's why he got cast in things is people thought he was attractive.
I don't know what it is. I have like a visceral disdain for Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's not founded in anything. It's not like I saw him in something being a creep and so I hate him. I just can't. I'm just like, why? Like, if it's like, this stars Matt Dillon, I'm like, when we watched. Fuck!
What was it with
Wild Things?
Yeah. It's so rough.
That movie is fucking rough.
Yeah, in general it is. That's but just, him in particular, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to.
I know. And I don't know. Also, he was in To Die For. He's the husband in To Die For.
Oh, that's right.
Which
I think he did great.
That was good casting. Yeah, like he was good at it, playing a shitbag.
I had to close my eyes.
Another thing about this movie, the casting of the real people.
Oh my God.
Is amazing. Yeah. Like is it Elsa Lancaster? Mm-hmm. Lanchester? I forget how it's said. Who was the Bride of Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And whoever plays Karloff looks just like him. I think that person's wearing some prosthetics.
Maybe, yeah.
But, yeah. And I read, this was in trivia for the movie, so who knows. But, like, presumably, Karloff and Whale had a dalliance. It lasted a few years, and it ended acrimoniously. And so that's one of the reasons Whale didn't work on future Frankenstein movies. I think they had to do, I think it was Bride they had to do because of contract together.
Interesting.
Anyway. Whoa. I don't know. That was a trivia. I didn't see that referenced anywhere else of my extensive research on Wikipedia article of James Whale. But
yeah.
And the guy that got to play Colin Clive, who's plays Victor Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Dead ringer. Fucking.
Yeah.
So kudos there, and even when they when you see the flashbacks of the production of the Bride of Frankenstein, the makeup and everything, McKellen looks a decent amount like James Whale.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, part of its direction, but also it's McKellen. It's got to be because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Normally, these kinds of things don't... I mean, you know, I'm sure I had my walls down because I was excited to see... experience a Brendan Fraser movie and be like, okay,
Yeah.
And McKellen, already a fan, you know.
Yep.
And... I am a sucker for, I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting topic that I knew nothing about, but I was interested.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the original Frankenstein, the film.
Yeah.
As I said in the lobby, I watched it for the first time in the last few years.
Yeah.
And
it's
good.
Nice.
It's good.
No complaints. I like when they're watching it at the bar.
Uh-huh.
And what's her name?
Lolita.
Lolita Davidovich.
Don't be racist.
Is like, this is so, and like Brendan Fraser is getting so, I'm like, oh, I feel like that scene is so relatable.
Yeah, because
he's just getting so like upset. They're like making fun of him and making fun of like the movie and shit. Oh God. It's both of us, when we're watching a movie that we want the other see.
Yeah.
And like, I literally sometimes have to be like, hey, this movie means a lot
to
me.
Which is perfect. I just,
so
once you tell me that, I'm like,
don't
absolutely. Got it.
Make jokes, okay? And you're like, oh, shit. Oh, okay. I like when you're like, was I joking? And I'm like, a lot, yeah. And you're like, I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't. I it's also a defense mechanism for me, as admitted. Like,
yes.
If it's too emotional, if it's too heavy, I gotta do things to keep myself from getting sucked in. Anyway, I can't remember feeling like the word heartbreaking is the best language I can come up with.
Yeah.
I didn't, which I don't necessarily, I mean, I've definitely been moved to tears by movies plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's been periods where, like, anything will make me cry at a movie. But, like I really felt devastated, you know, like, in a...
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, for the character, at least, of Whale.
Mm-hmm.
When they showed, like, the main ones for me are, like, when he's like, this is what I've been drawing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I can't do it. To me, that was like, oh, fuck. I don't know why that hit. I mean, it's supposed to.
It just normally
wouldn't
give
me the way it did. And then the scene where he's Clay as the monster is bringing him to the fucking
field. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was
dead,
like,
war dead comrades for him to lay down with them.
Oh my God, I know. I was like, jeez. And it took so long. I was like, stop. This hurts my feelings.
I loved it.
No, it was beautiful. And I was like, my feelings are hurt watching this. I'm like, this hurts my feelings.
It's because you get it's.
No, I know. I know.
You get that.
Yeah.
For Whale, that's what he wants. That's yeah. what he wants to be or feels like he should be.
It's okay. But that's like, yeah, like anything. It reminded me too of Doom Patrol. And we both, like, it's one where you left the room. Because again, if Keith is like too emotional or something, he's like, I refuse to even participate any longer when. Now I'm going to cry. You know, when he's, when he's, his, like, fuck off. Like, his ex is dying or whatever. And they're dancing together, you know, like, for the last time, but, like, in his mind. And it's, like, the first time that they've been able to, like, do that. Like, there's so much. And I think, you know, it's one of those things that part of the reason why it's so devastating is because they're queer. And, like, they could only be together when they're dead. And, like, that reality is so brutal. And I think it's hard. I think one of the reasons why it's probably harder to see now than even, like, 10 years ago is because of all of the heartbreaking and soul-crushing, like, political steps backwards that we're taking, and it does feel like we're going back to that. And maybe we won't, you know, fingers crossed that something will happen and that won't be the case. But to look and see that they were so dehumanized that even in a war, they weren't allowed to mourn because, you know, they couldn't even mourn. Like, they couldn't even mourn in a war. And to think that people could ever do that and think that it's godly or righteous is so devastating. It's so devastating. And it's like, I don't want to be like, it's evil, but like, if evil has a face, that's what the face looks like, you know? Something where you refuse love. Where you refuse to let two people be together and you make them suffer throughout their life and feel like a monster. And then all, like, the only release he had, the only way he could be himself, like, with his partner who he lost in a war and watched die, like, he had to die in order to feel peace. Like, the idea that the only way that he could be himself was through death is so brutal, and it's so much of a reality, and it's something that this country did. It's something that this country is trying to keep doing. It's something that, you know, it's just, it feels like a lot because it is. And, you know, 1957, I mean, I know that's not when the war was, but 1957 was not that long ago. I mean, it was, but it wasn't, you know? And that's scary, you know? It's scary and it's sad and it's heartbreaking and it should be felt. It's on the floor. Oh, what are you looking for? Sorry. Anyway.
I do have to give this movie a tragic A for that.
Tragic A, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is.
Though not in the typical way of where you see two people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wanting to be. I mean, yes, but like. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You get a real time relationship. You get the relationship between him and Clay.
Yeah.
Which isn't romantic.
Correct. But it reminds him of a romantic relationship.
Right. So, and that's an interesting thing. That's a really.
Yeah.
I like that because it takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
And it points to the thing that you were talking, the dynamic that you were talking about was of Clay wanting the attention, even though he knows, you know, part of it is sexual in nature.
Yeah.
You know, physical or whatever. Like, it's still attention and it's from another man. And, you know, especially, you know, because you get to, like, one of the few things you learn about the character Clay is his relationship with his dad.
Yeah.
And how it's shitty.
Put the old man on. Yeah, forget it. Just let him sleep it off. All right. Yeah. Time's up, Ellen, now. I'm out of dimes. Uh-huh. Have one for me.
And, you know, like, I don't consider myself a Wes Anderson fan anymore, like, one thing that was unique about his earlier hits, at least, like,
Rushmore,
and even Tenenbaums, is it portrays, and even Zissou, Life Aquatic, is it really explores, like, or I don't know about explorers, but they all have a young man looking up to an older man who turns out to be a flawed.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You don't get to see a lot of. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much you get to see it. I haven't seen it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's always a big part of the tension is finding out, the young man finding out that the guy he looks up to is actually a kind of a piece of shit. You know, and a regular flawed human being.
Something that I took from it, though, is that, like, you know, something that I think is sad where, like, men don't have as much freedom to explore their sexuality or you know, especially back then, you know, where it does feel good to be desired.
Right.
And it feels good to be desired by someone that you
respect.
Right. And like,
or admire and have any,
you know, not to say something in the sense of like, he's not a teenager, he's not a kid, you know.
Right.
You know, he's young, but he's not like infantile, you know, it's not like a grooming situation, you know. It's not something like that. But like,
he's old enough that in 1957, it's a little surprising that he's not married.
Correct.
Already.
Yeah. So that sort of dynamic, I think, is also a really interesting one where it's like, it's hard to not feel good when that attention is being given to you. And in a lot of ways, there's nothing wrong with needing attention, wanting attention, wanting to be desired. And it's fine if that's coming from someone who's a man or a woman or whoever it's coming from. If someone's like giving you attention, especially if they're like, I'm not asking for sex. I just want to look at you. I just want to admire you. I'm just fucking hell. Yeah. I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Right. And you're going to pay me?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck yeah, you know.
I've been in sketchier situations for less.
Exactly. Yes, please. But yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. Yeah.
Would recommend, though.
For sure, yeah. I think it's something Brendan Fraser's good. Ian McKellen just performs so like fuck that guy. He's just so good. It's ridiculous.
I said this during our viewing, but like it definitely took me a while to not only hear Patrick Stewart because I've seen him more in things.
Yeah. I've probably seen Ian McKellen in more things that Patrick Stewart was in.
So the X-Men movies?
Yeah, X-Men movies. Well, also Lord of the Rings.
Huh?
Also Lord of the Rings.
Patrick Stewart isn't in them.
No. No, I'm saying I've also seen Ian McKellen in Lord of the Rings. He's Gandalf, right?
Yeah, but what was your original statement?
I think I've seen Ian McKellen in more things with Patrick Stewart as well than anything else. And then I'm like, well, I've also seen Lord of the Rings. Canceling that out is what I'm saying. Because Patrick Stewart's not in Lord of the Rings, so that might be the same amount of movies. Like, there's three X-Men, okay. Right?
Yes.
And there's three Lord of the Rings movies. So I haven't technically seen more things.
Okay, but TNG.
No. Ian McKellen was not in
TNG. We got to scrap this because there's no saving.
I'm saying I've seen the two of them. I've seen Ian McKellen in more things that Patrick Stewart has also been in. So the two of them together in something. More than I have just Ian McKellen by himself.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
I'd recommend as well.
I don't know how Chris Hansen's still alive.
The Village.